In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Most people who grew up Christian have been listening to the parable of the mustard seed since they were very young. It's taught to preschoolers in a curriculum called Godly Play, which uses tactile objects to teach Bible stories to young people. This one starts with a teacher getting out a large gold box. She says, "This story is kept inside a box." The teacher then wonders if the box could be a parable. "It's also the color of gold," she says. "Things that are gold are usually very valuable. Parables are very valuable, maybe even more valuable than gold." The box has a lid on it. Sometimes parables are hard to get into. You have to be ready to go inside a parable, says the teacher. "It also looks like a gift or a present. Parables are gifts given to us from before the time that we were even born. But they aren't the same as the kind of gift you get for Christmas or your birthday. If you have trouble getting inside a parable, don't get discouraged, because someday the parable will let you in. This one goes, once there was someone who did such amazing things and such wonderful things that people began to follow him. They kept hearing him talk about a place called the kingdom. And they didn't know what the kingdom was, and they didn't know anyone who had ever been to the kingdom, and they had never been to that kingdom. So they just had to ask him, 'What is this kingdom?' He answered, 'It is like a tiny, tiny seed, the tiniest of seeds, which someone plants and it grows.'" And the teacher then begins to unfold some green fabric she's hidden in the palm of her hand. Quietly and slowly, she unfurls the trunk and all of the branches, one by one, of a shrub or a tree, and we watch it get bigger and bigger, and it grows into this great big bush or tree. And she says, "The birds found the tree, and they begin to fly to the tree." And then she lays out little wooden birds. Some of those birds build their nests in the tree, and she says, "I wonder who was the person who planted the tree? I wonder if the person who planted the tiny seed into the ground has a name. I wonder if that person was happy when the birds started coming to the tree. I wonder if the birds were happy to find this tree. I wonder if you have ever come close to a tree like this. I wonder what this tree could really be. I wonder what these nests could really be. I wonder what this whole thing could really be." Now, as a teacher, I will tell you that the very best part of teaching the parables to children is that, for the most part, children are much more free and creative with their thoughts than adults. They begin to wonder all sorts of things, spiritual things, about that story. And of course, that is actually the point of a parable, to wonder about the stories. What do they tell us about God? And what do they tell us about us? And what do they tell us about life? When his disciples asked him about the parables, Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding." The end of our gospel reading today says that Jesus taught many similar parables and didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. Now, this week, a government official attempted to use the Bible to explain the government's policy of separating immigrant children from their parents. I hope we're not too surprised, because this has happened in this country before. Scriptures and religion were used to justify the sin of slavery and the oppression of African Americans in this country for over 200 years, and for tearing Native American children away from their families and sending them to white boarding schools, and for interring Japanese Americans when we were afraid of them in World War II. And for all of those things, we, the church, repent. Part of that repentance is that we must be prepared to make sure this doesn't happen again. Never forget that even Satan used quotes from the Bible when he was tempting and torturing Jesus in the wilderness. So how can we tell what to make of confusing passages in the Bible? And what do we do when different parts of the Bible seem to stand in opposition and contradiction to each other? The answer, Mark tells us, is Jesus. When Jesus was with his own disciples, he explained everything by living it. Jesus taught about Scripture through parables, but he interpreted Scripture through his life. His life is the key to interpreting Scripture. And disciples of Jesus know this. If you are wondering about how to interpret the Bible, spend time wondering about Jesus and look at his life. He lived what he said was the greatest commandment: to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' life of active love is the lens through which we read Scripture. When we read the parable of the mustard seed through the lens of Jesus' life, it tells us that God values and uses the ordinary, the insignificant, and the everyday to usher in the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It isn't grand or flashy. The kingdom of God isn't indicated by a mansion or a palace. Isn't it odd that Jesus did not say the kingdom of God was a big mansion or a palace? Jesus said it was a tiny mustard seed. The kingdom will not clothe you in silk and fur. The kingdom is not about oppressing people who aren't like you. The kingdom is not about wealth or being number one or having the biggest country or the strongest army. The kingdom of God is not reflected in the power of Caesar or the egotistical grandiosity of Pontius Pilate, but by Jesus, the son of a carpenter, born in a stable in a small town. The kingdom of God has such small beginnings that if you weren't looking for it, you might miss it. The kingdom of God is at hand in the life of a man who welcomed the stranger, who touched lepers, who healed the lame, welcomed outcasts, and ate with sinners. The kingdom of God is proclaimed by the life, death, and resurrection of a man whose humility and love were such threats to the governing authority of his day that he was humiliated and murdered by being hung up on a tree. We are disciples of that man. We proclaim Christ crucified and the kingdom of God every week when we celebrate the Eucharist. And we take those small seeds of Jesus' life into our body with the prayer that we will be strengthened and encouraged to love and serve God in the world. If the world seems dark to you, don't despair. We are all sowers in the kingdom of God. Every loving thing each one of us does, no matter how small, participates in the inbreaking of God's kingdom. It won't be flashy. The stuff we do probably will not make the nightly news. But every dinner cooked for a homeless veteran, every queer teenager supported and loved, every sick parishioner tended, every card sent to someone bereaved, every immigrant family advocated for, every phone call to an elected official, every child taught to wonder, is a mustard seed sown onto the ground of God's creation in God's good time. They will grow to a great height and provide shade and nesting places for the birds. I wonder what this tree could really be. I wonder if you have ever come close to a tree like this. I wonder what a whole forest of trees like this would look like. Amen.